ಅತ್ಯಾವತಾರಸ್ತ್ವಿಹ ಮಾತ್ಯ ಶಿಕ್ಷಣ ರಕ್ಷೋ ವಧಾಯೈವ ನ ಕೇವಲಂ ವಿಭೋ ಭೂತೋನ್ಯಥಾ ಸ್ಯಾದ್ ರಮತ ಸ್ವ ಆತ್ಮನಾ ಸೀತಾ ಕೃತಾನಿ ವ್ಯಸನಾನಿ ನೀಶ್ವರಸ್ಯ. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. It was ordained that Ravan, chief of the Rakshasas, would not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravan, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? Purport. When the Lord appears in this universe in the form of a human being, he has two purposes. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, to destroy the demons and to protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by His personal presence, but also teaches them so that they will not fall down from devotional service. By His personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45, Yanme thunadi grihame disukham hitucham kando yane nakarayori vadu kadukham tripyanti nat neha kripana bahudu kabaja kando titvan manasijam vishaheta dhira. Kripanas, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge and who are therefore just the opposite of brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees. To teach this lesson to devotees and to teach human society in general, Lord Ramachandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, underwent a series of tribulations because he accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramachandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. Actually, he never has any reason to lament for anything. Another aspect of the Lord's instruction is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men, those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nevertheless endure it. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated this duty. Lord Ramachandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of Sitas from his pleasure energy, but just to show the duty of a faithful husband, he not only rescued Sita from the hands of Ravan, but also killed Ravan and all the members of his family. A Another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramachandra is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees, may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purushas, liberated persons. Under all circumstances, it is therefore said in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Jata deka vaishnavera vyavahara duk, nishchaya janiha taha paramananda suk. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss in separation, viraha. The emotions of a lover and beloved, the emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalan Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalitha Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's very, very important we have Bhagavatam class, because sometimes we can read a purport and it can feel very heavy. It can feel like Srila Prabhupada is saying something very, very strong. And it's important, therefore, that we have Bhagavatam class so we can discuss and understand exactly what is Srila Prabhupada's spirit. Put your hands up if you've ever read some purports of Srila Prabhupada which have been difficult for you to accept. Like a little hard sometimes, yeah, a little hard. So let us see, there are some things said here which are quite strong. So we should try to understand what does it actually mean. I think the first thing that we have to clarify is that Srila Prabhupada seems to... Yeah, for the ladies maybe it's difficult because Srila Prabhupada is saying to accept a wife means to accept so many problems. So you may feel like, is the lady always the bad person in this situation? You can, you know, we are men, so we may not feel that, but as a lady you may feel that, like, why is the wife always the problem? So this is the first thing we should discuss. The second thing is Srila Prabhupada seems to be saying that anyone who goes into householder life is basically in Maya, and they really did the second best option. Actually, everyone should have just avoided it if possible. So maybe we need to have some discussion around that. And the third is, in the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about Ram's banishing Sita, which I think is also confusing sometimes. So maybe we'll try to discuss these three, and then we can have some discussion. So first thing is, here it seems to say that, you know, as soon as one accepts a wife, then they have problems. So is it that the Bhagavatam is saying women are maya, women are bad, that they're always the problem? If you read later on in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada clarifies, and he actually says that for man, woman can be the representation of maya. And then Prabhupada writes in the very next line that for woman, man can also be the representation of maya. So when we're hearing this, we shouldn't just think it's one-sided. That ultimately what Srila Prabhupada is saying, oftentimes he said, woman is good, man is good, but sometimes the combination and the interaction can cause complexity. That we should be aware. Bhagavatam says in one famous verse, Nanavagni pramadanam gritakamba samapuman, that woman is compared to fire and man is compared to
butter.
Yes. So Prabhupada said, butter is good, fire is good, but when they come together, there's explosion. Another verse in the Bhagavatam says, Pumsha striya mithuni bhavametam tayor mithu riddaya granti mahur atho griha kshetra sutapta vitere janasya moho yamahammameti. That the attraction between man and woman is the basic principle of material existence, and as soon as that connection takes place, then atho, all the complexity begins. Griha, first you need a home. Kshetra, then you need a whole situation. Suta, then there are children. Apta viter, you need money. You need to create a whole situation. And what happens in that situation? Janasya, moho, yamaham mameti. And then one becomes entangled in the illusion of I, me and mine. So this is not saying that man is good, woman is bad. It's just there's a general principle that the combination of man and woman is bringing a lot of complexity in the world. So that's just the first clarification. But then the second clarification needs to be addressed, that here Srila Prabhupada seems to be saying that Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it's better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations. So is it that married life is always followed by many tribulations? Yes? Who would agree? Yes. It's interesting because, again, you will find later on or earlier in the Bhagavatam, for example, in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, in the instructions between Kapila and Devahuti, then there it is actually said that household life is considered the best boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport writes that family life and accepting household life is actually very good, particularly in Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada says that being in the Grihastha ashram is like having a fort around your castle, because having that fort creates a protection from the attack of many things. So there it seems to be saying that family life is very, very favorable in the cultivation of spiritual life. So oftentimes you find this, that two perspectives are given. I was talking the other day about sometimes you find seeming contradictions. I'll give you another example. In the Bhagavatam, one word given for the material body is klesha da. You know what klesha da means? Da means to give, like dan, charity. And klesha, what does klesha mean?
Suffering.
So one literal word given for the material body is klesha da, that thing which just gives you suffering. But later on in the Bhagavatam, you know another word is given for the material body? Artha da. Da means again to give, and artha means great benefit. So you think, which one is it? Is the material body klesha da or artha da? Is it the thing which gives you misery, or is it the thing which gives you great benefit? Well, it depends how you use it. If you use it for material enjoyment, then it's going to give you misery. But if you use it, if you take this rare human form to understand who am I, who is God, then it can give you the greatest benefit. So similarly, is family life full of misery and attachment and material entanglement? Yes. If you try to enjoy materially through that situation, the moment you try to enjoy, it's going to create so much complexity and suffering. But is family life also very useful for crossing across the ocean? Yes, if you use it in the right way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in a song, he writes, Jai dina grihe bhajana deki grihete gholoka bhai. He says, every day I go home, and when I enter my household life, I see grihete goloka bhai, the whole of the spiritual world Vaikuntha manifested before me. Wow, that's like amazing. Yes, because if you use family life in the right way, then he says the whole of the spiritual world can be manifest there. So this is why it's so important to discuss Srila Prabhupada's purports, because otherwise we may feel it's heavy, we may feel it's biased, we may feel it's very, very one-sided. But Srila Prabhupada says many, many things, and all of those things are true in their own context. So when Srila Prabhupada says here, better not to enter married life, is true. But when Srila Prabhupada later on in the Bhagavatam says married life is very conducive for spiritual advancement, is true. Because it depends on the person and it depends on the motivation. So just to give some clarification on this point. Before I move on to the next point about Sita Devi, just to see, does anyone have any comment or question about this? About, yes, Prabhu.
There's this mention in the Bhagavatam also that when a woman has this bracelets, that more than two, that always creates disturbance.
Yeah, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, we find the story of the Brahmana who has 24 gurus, the Avadhut Brahmana. And one of the gurus, he sees a lady, and I think she's doing some household tasks, and she has many bracelets. And the lesson he learns from her is that when there are many together, then naturally it creates a lot of noise, it creates a lot of disturbance. If you only have one bracelet, no matter how much shaking there is, there's no noise. So he took the lesson from that when even two come together, what to speak of three, four, five when you have children and a bigger family. The lesson he took was that when people come together in this world, generally there's always some disturbance. So Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says if one can remain alone, is very good. But then, for some, that may not be practical, that may not be possible, and that may not be, according to their nature, beneficial. So then, it is also good to be in a family situation, but in a Krishna conscious way. Thank you. Thank you for that comment. Anyone else would like to say anything about this? Is everyone satisfied? Yeah, it is. Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Maharaj.
When you were speaking the other day of contradictions mentioned in the Shastras.
Yeah, seeming contradiction.
There's one contradiction, and then the Prabhupada used to say, the boy shouldn't get married,
yeah.
And the lady should not get married.
Yeah, the men should not get married, and all the ladies should get married. Yeah. Yes. And then I think they asked, maybe Srila Prabhupada, how will that work? And then I think he made the point that yes, ultimately all men will not stay single, so it will But yeah, so these are, yeah, these things are there. So yeah, also different natures are there, and for a lady to remain single is generally, according to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, not recommended. Yeah. Okay, so then I move on. There's nothing more anyone wants to ask on this. Yes.
I was wondering, isn't it also kind of then a responsibility for the men not to just think of their own spiritual life, but also give shelter to women then?
Yeah. Yeah, so here the point is being made that it's better not to enter married life. Prabhupada is making that point, and here Srila Prabhupada is also making that point that for men they shouldn't. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, when he's taking sannyas, he says, I gave up the small world of family life to embrace the whole world as my family. So even if a man gives up family life, it's not that they should become irresponsible. They should still give shelter. They should still give help. They should still give protection. But hopefully now in a bigger way, in a broader way, because they are not focused on one situation. So that's the first thing, that it's not that men are supposed to escape from family life and then not give protection or shelter or service. If they take that decision not to enter into family life, actually it should result in them giving more service to society. Otherwise, if you're not a grihastha, then you should be a renunciate. And renunciate means you should also serve society. But the reality is that although these statements are made, why does Srila Prabhupada make this statement? To encourage those who have that inclination towards renunciation, but knowing that ultimately everyone will not go towards renunciation as we see in the world today. And therefore those who don't go into renunciation must then accept the responsibility and offer protection. So the point is that whether a man becomes a householder or whether a man takes renunciation path, in both situations they should give protection, but in a different way. Does that help? If you want to say something more, you can. Yeah.
I'm wondering what is with those who are like then in between, like not
doing. Yeah, so that is not considered very, very good. If you're not, like they say, there is an ashram in between brahmachari and grihastha, and it's called brahmastra. So brahmastra means like something that's going to explode. So if someone is in between ashrams, generally that's not good. Of course, sometimes we may find there is an exceptional person who is not meant to live in an ashram and is not meant to also be in family life. Maybe there may be some exception, but in general, one must always be in an ashram, because ashram comes from the word ashraya, which means in an ashram you give shelter and you receive shelter. Ashraya means shelter. So if one is in brahmachari ashram, they give shelter to others by preaching and they receive shelter by being under the protection of superiors. If one is in grihastha ashram, they give shelter to their family members, but they also receive shelter from their family members. But if one doesn't accept any of those situations, then there's no shelter actually. And therefore it's a very, very dangerous position in someone's life. So generally, everyone should try to be in an ashram. That is why Srila Prabhupada created in ISKCON a system of varnashram. Okay. Maharaj, yes?
I would also mention, remember there was a letter from Prabhupada to all the Guru, many years ago. And two sannyasis came, Hans Bhakacharya and Krishnaswami. They were coming from India. And Hans Duda was a little agitated because he was a grihastha and he actually wanted to be a sannyasi. And then he wrote this parable to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada answered, actually, you're brahmachari because you are preaching. And you're using your ashram for preaching, there's no difference. Yeah. You're actually grihastha brahmachari.
Yes. Yes, that we also understand this point, that if one is in household life but everything is dedicated to service, then actually that's already brahmacharya. Actually, the etymology of the word brahmacharya means one whose achar is in Brahman. In other words, achar means activity and Brahman means the spiritual reality. So brahmacharya literally means someone whose every activity is dedicated to the Supreme Lord. That's real brahmacharya, not saffron cloth, not shaved head. That's just the externals. The real thing is, who is a brahmachari? One whose every activity is dedicated to the Supreme. So if one is in grihastha life and everything is dedicated, everything is connected, then we can understand that yes, they are also grihastha brahmacharis, because all activities are in Brahman. Same thing. Yes, thank you Maharaj for raising that point. Okay, so let me talk about one final thing here, which sometimes is also very, very difficult to digest. Ramayana is a very, very beautiful story, 25,000 verses. And throughout the Ramayana, Ram is ideal in all ways because he's Maryada Purushottam. He shows the ideal example. But then at the end of the Ramayana, something happens which is very difficult to understand. Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravan. And Sita Devi was so chaste. She never looked at Ravan. She never contemplated anything. She was completely pure. And then finally, when they built the bridge to Lanka, Ram defeated Ravan and they brought Sita Devi back. Then when Sita Devi came back, Ram, what did he make Sita Devi do? He made her perform the Agni Pariksha, which means the fire test. Because he was an ideal king, he was saying that no one should doubt me, that I am coming back together with my wife who was with another man. So Sita Devi said, I didn't look at him. I did not engage in any illicit way with him, and I'll prove it. And how will I prove it? I'll walk into the fire. And if my words are true, then Agni will save me. And then as Sita Devi walked in, then the real form of Sita and the illusory Maya form of Sita separated, and everyone could understand that when Ravan had touched Sita Devi, he had only touched her illusory form and therefore she had not been touched. So she passed the test. So everything was fine. So Ram accepted, you have proved your chastity. Sita Devi was happy. All the residents of Ayodhya were very, very happy. And Lord Ram began, Ramaraj began ruling. Sita Devi was there, everyone was happy. This went on for 2 years. But then something happened. Because what Lord Ram would regularly do is he would send spies out to find out what people were saying about him. Because he wanted to improve himself, if there was any, because he wanted to be ideal. So he went. So then there was one washerman. And the washerman was saying something to someone else. He was saying, have you seen Lord Ram? Sita Devi was with another man. Sita Devi was with Ravan. And Lord Ram, he's so shameless that he's taken her back. What kind of ideal person is this who takes back a wife who has been compromised in her chastity? So this washerman said these very painful words. So the spy came back and he told Ram that there's one washerman I heard. Everyone is saying beautiful things about you, but there's one washerman. And he said that your character has been compromised because you have accepted a lady that's been in the hands of another man. And when Ram heard that, and then he did something, the unthinkable. He decided to banish Sita. Now this is very, very difficult to understand. Sita had already proved her chastity. Ram knew that Sita was completely pure and chaste. So for devotees to hear this, that Ram, even though Sita was so pure, that Ram banished her, is so hard to digest. So how do we understand this? So we can see there are a few ways to understand why Ram did this, or to understand this activity of Ram. The first thing to understand when we're thinking about Sita Devi's being banished by Ram, the first thing to understand is that Ram didn't quite banish her. It's not that just Ram opened the door and like kicked her out of the house and said, now just go and do your own thing and I'll do my own thing. It wasn't quite like that. What Ram did is he arranged a place for Sita Devi to stay in Valmiki Rishi's ashram. And there in Valmiki Rishi's ashram, there were many other female ascetics. And what Ram did is he organized a place, a very secure place, a very spiritual place, a very protective place for Sita Devi to be. So that's the first thing to realize when we're talking about Sita Devi's being banished, that Ram provided her with a very, very safe place to be. That's the first thing we must understand. But still you will say, okay, he provided a nice place. But still, that was very harsh. So the second thing to understand is that Sita Devi was banished because someone was saying bad things. Someone was saying some rumor which was casting a doubt upon Ram's character. Now Ram, he had come to the world to establish the ideal example of how to be a king. So what Ram wanted to show to the world is that if one takes any leadership responsibility, they must be above any kind of suspicion. If one takes a position of leadership, no one should doubt their character. If one takes a position of leadership, then they should act in such a way that people will have full faith in them. Because Ram knew that in the future, Kali Yuga will come. And Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Because there's so much hypocrisy, then there's so much quarrel. And therefore Ram wanted to set a very, very high example of that, how a leader should not be above any kind of suspicion. And therefore, because Lord Ram, for a higher principle of setting a standard for future generations, therefore we can say Ram banished Sita. It wasn't so much that he had doubt in Sita's character, but it was more that he wanted to establish prosperity and proper leadership for future generations to come. So that's the second thing. But still you may say, that's still heavy. Why? But well, how could he do that to Sita, who loved him? So the third way to understand it is in the last line of the purport. Srila Prabhupada actually gives the answer. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ram from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulation they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So actually, the deeper reason why Sita was banished by Ram is to actually create a more confidential connection in their relationship. Because in the theology of Vaishnavism, a higher type of love than love in union, which is known as sambhoga, is love in separation, viraha or vipralamba. And therefore, when we see that Ram banishes Sita, is for a higher principle of experiencing a deeper and more intimate and more intense type of love. And that's the third way in which we reconcile how Sita was banished. And the final thing to understand when Sita is banished is in the Ramayana itself, it gives the backstory of why this event actually happened. Durvasa Muni is speaking to Dasarath and Durvasa Muni is telling Dasarath what will happen to his future sons. And he says, in the future you will have a son, Ram, and Ram will be separated from his wife. And then Dasarath is thinking, why? What's the reason? So Durvasa says, I'll tell you a story. Once, many millenniums ago, the demigods and the demons were having a battle. And because the daityas or the demons were defeated, they were running away. And as they were running away, they came to the ashram of Bhrigu. And Bhrigu, he was not there, but his wife was there. And when the daityas came, they said to Bhrigu Muni's wife, we need a place for shelter because the demigods are going to find us and kill us. And so Bhrigu Muni's wife, she opened the doors and she let the demons stay there. She gave them shelter. So later on, when Vishnu found out that Bhrigu Muni's wife had given shelter to the demons, Jai Shishi Vijay Gauranga Dwalitai Ki. Later on, when Vishnu found out that Bhrigu Muni's wife had given shelter to the demons, you know what Vishnu did to Bhrigu Muni's wife? With his Sudarshan Chakra, he immediately decapitated her. He said, how you could give shelter to the demons? So later on, Bhrigu Muni came back. He found his wife decapitated. And he looked at Vishnu and he said, why did you do this? Vishnu said, because she gave shelter to the demons. Bhrigu Muni said, this was such a harsh response. This was such a disproportionate way to react. Bhrigu Muni said, because you have killed my wife and caused me now to be in separation from her, I curse you that in the future you will also be separated from your wife. And although Vishnu had the power to overturn that curse, he said, no, I will accept the curse. And when I come in the Treta Yuga as Lord Ramachandra, I'll take that curse upon my head and I will fulfill it. And so when Lord Ram came, that separation with Sita Devi took place because also it has a connection to the past. So therefore again, when we read these stories, Sita Devi being banished, it can seem very, very harsh. But we must understand there are many, many other things around it, many other stories, many other reasons, and many other factors which help us to understand why this was actually the ultimate exhibition of love. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So like this, today we read this purport, which sometimes seems to have things which are very difficult, very hard, but when we sit down and when we talk about it, then we can actually understand that actually what Srila Prabhupada is saying is not only very, very accurate, but it's actually very, very beautiful and very, very empowering to us. Hare Krishna. Okay, maybe we have some minutes. If anyone has any other question they would like to ask, yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, Lord Rama, after finishing Sita, did he accept her another wife? Or did he accept her anaprastha?
Yeah, as far as we read in Ramayana, there was no other. He had taken the vow of Ekapatni Vrat. Ekapatni Vrat means he had vowed that he would only ever have one wife. Yes, so he was not, there was no other wife.
So then it means he took Vanaprastha?
Well, not exactly Vanaprastha, because he was still ruling in the kingdom. Vanaprastha would mean he walked away from everything and he... So not exactly like that, but he was ruling. But yeah, he did not get married because he had taken that vow that I will only ever marry one wife.
But he was actually still married because his wife, he would take his wife's
offer. Yeah, in that sense you can say he was still married because his wife was there and he had made an arrangement for her to be taken care of. So in that sense he had not separated. Or, there's no divorce. Yes, Mataji.
Somebody told me that the word divorce doesn't exist
in Vedic,
there's no Vedic term for divorce.
Yes, generally this would not be, this is not something, yeah, that is. Yeah, because in the, I mean, many of you have been married, you know the Vivaha Yajna. Even when you do that Vivaha Yajna, it's like you are making vows that they cannot be. Even in Christian tradition, isn't it? When you make the vows, they say, till death do us part, like that. Of course, they may not know about Vanaprastha, but but generally it's like that. In spiritual culture, once you make the vow, there's no question of going back. It's just not. What to speak of? Any vow. Any vow. Once you make the vow, what is it said of the Goswamis? Their vows were like lines on the stone. When you make a line in the stone, you can't say, oh no, actually I didn't like that one, can you rub it out? No, no. Once it's in stone, it's in stone. But then what to do? We're living in the modern world. It's a different situation. Thank you much. Yes.
In this past, I remember after some years, the two grown-up sons of...
Yeah, Love and Kush, yeah.
...came back. And then, of course, also Sita Devi was brought back to the Pranachama and entered again, and then covered up and disappeared.
Yes, so, yes.
But on which grounds was she then brought back? I mean, if she was rejected, you know, then suddenly she's been brought back again.
It wasn't necessarily to be brought back to live with Ram in the kingdom in that way. It was brought back to perform the final pastime. So Ram had made that point, he had made that very strong example that yes, I'm ideal, you know, I'm ruling, but I will not have any connection because of this situation that took place. But then in the final analysis, yeah, she was brought back for her final chapter of her existence, we can say like that. So by that time, Ram had already proved that he had been spotless in his own character. So he had proved himself. But in that moment where the criticism was there, then he took that action so that there would be no doubt on his character. Like that. Yes?
women also always should be protected and have shelter. But what about men who don't have shelter? Especially in the devotee community, could happen also. What happens to them?
Yes. Yeah, actually everyone needs to have shelter. So even man has a spiritual master. Man has to take shelter of Krishna. Even if one takes sannyas, then it said one is taking etams asthaya paratmanishtam adhyasitam. One is taking complete shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So everyone in this world, living entities, always have to be sheltered. So woman is sheltered by man because man is seen as the natural guru, and man is sheltered by spiritual teachers. Therefore, if you look at Ram, although Ram was such a powerful king, it's explained that oftentimes Ram would be seen in the forest just hearing from the sages and learning from them. Think like Ram, this is like the powerful, you know, the most powerful king. And it said that often they would find him in the forest just sitting with the sages and taking guidance from them.
Also, just to give an example,
yes,
you know, the king should be, you know, taken, how do you say?
Guidance from the brahmanas, yeah. Yeah.
And he said, Krishan Maharaj, when he was traveling, checking that everything was going right, he was surrounded by the best brahmins. Yeah. They would give him advice.
Yeah.
You didn't have to
look
independently.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, so one is always under shelter. Atmatattva Prabhu tells this nice story that they were doing Guru Puja to Srila Prabhupada. And all the devotees were going like, you know, Jai Prabhupada, and singing the song, you know, Sri Guru Charan. And then they looked closely at Prabhupada and he was also singing the song. So then later on they asked Prabhupada, they said, oh, like we were singing Guru Puja to you and you were singing also. And Prabhupada said, yes, you were singing to me and I am singing to my Guru. Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma, the lotus feet of my spiritual master, are the only way by which I can attain pure devotion. So Prabhupada was always under shelter. Everyone is all, we are weak. Therefore we need to be under shelter. And one may say, oh, I'm under the shelter of Krishna. Yeah, if you are that advanced, then yeah, maybe you can be under the shelter of Krishna. But our position is that we are very easily affected by Maya, and therefore to have the representative of Krishna who can give us shelter is very, very good. So yes, everyone needs shelter. Women, men, children, everyone needs protection. Is that okay?
But yeah. If they don't accept shelter or think, especially in the devotee community, don't accept any more shelter?
They don't want to accept shelter? Mm. Well, just like anyone, whether it's woman, man, child, if they don't want to accept protection, then they can understand they are in a very vulnerable position. There's no protection, then it's very, very vulnerable. So therefore, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is meant to provide protection and encourage everyone to take protection. And also to create the atmosphere of love and trust where someone will feel inspired to take protection. That's another problem. Now oftentimes people don't want to take protection or shelter because they've been let down in the past. So that's very real. If someone put faith in an authority or a spiritual teacher and then later on there was some difficulty, then naturally it's very difficult to repair that faith. So therefore then in the Sangha of devotees we have to try to encourage and develop relationships of love and trust where one again feels like, yes, I feel I can take shelter again. Because without shelter, so Kaviraj Goswami says, Durgame patimain dhasyas kalat pada gater muhu svakripa yastina nena shanta shantva valambanam. He says, my path is very difficult and I'm slipping again and again, but the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is holding me up. So our path is very difficult. The only thing holding us up is the shelter of the devotees. But if we don't take shelter of the devotees, if we think, I will do it myself, I'll walk alone, then good luck. It's very difficult. Kali Yuga is a minefield of obstacles.